Law 42. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter. Judgment. Trouble can often be traced to a single strong individual, the stirrer, the arrogant underling, the poisoner of goodwill. If you allow such people room to operate, others will succumb to their influence. Do not wait for the troubles they cause to multiply. Do not try to negotiate with them. They are irredeemable. Neutralize their influence by isolating or banishing them. Strike at the source of the trouble, and the sheep will scatter. Observance of the law. Near the end of the 6th century BC, the city-state of Athens overthrew the series of petty tyrants who had dominated its politics for decades. It established instead a democracy that was to last over a century, a democracy that became the source of its power and its proudest achievement. But as the democracy evolved, so did a problem the Athenians had never faced: how to deal with those who did not concern themselves with the cohesion of a small city surrounded by enemies, who did not work for its greater glory, but thought of only themselves and their own ambitions and petty intrigues. The Athenians understood that these people, if left alone, would sow dissension, divide the city into factions, and stir up anxieties, all of which could lead to the ruin of their democracy. Violent punishment no longer suited the new, civilized order that Athens had created. Instead, the citizens found another, more satisfying and less brutal way to deal with the chronically selfish. Every year, they would gather in the marketplace and write on a piece of earthenware, an ostracon, the name of an individual they wanted to see banished from the city for 10 years. If a particular name appeared on 6,000 ballots, that person would instantly be exiled. If no one received 6,000 votes, the person with the most ostraca recording his name would suffer the 10-year ostracism. This ritual expulsion became a kind of festival. What a joy to be able to banish those irritating, anxiety-inducing individuals who wanted to rise above the group they should have served. In 490 BC, Aristides, one of the great generals of Athenian history, helped defeat the Persians at the Battle of Marathon. Meanwhile, off the battlefield, his fairness as a judge had earned him the nickname the Just. But as the years went by, the Athenians came to dislike him. He made such a show of his righteousness, and this, they believed, disguised his feelings of superiority and scorn for the common folk. His omnipresence in Athenian politics became obnoxious. The citizens grew tired of hearing him called the Just. They feared that this was just the type of man, judgmental, haughty, who would eventually stir up fierce divisions among them. In 482 BC, despite Aristides' invaluable expertise in the continuing war with the Persians, they collected the ostraca and had him banished. After Aristides' ostracism, the great general Themistocles emerged as the city's premier leader. But his many honors and victories went to his head, and he too became arrogant and overbearing, constantly reminding the Athenians of his triumphs in battle, the temples he had built, the dangers he had fended off. He seemed to be saying that without him, the city would come to ruin. And so, in 472 BC, Themistocles' name was filled in on the ostraca, and the city was rid of his poisonous presence. The greatest political figure in 5th century Athens was undoubtedly Pericles. Although several times threatened with ostracism, he avoided that fate by maintaining close ties with the people. Perhaps he had learned a lesson as a child from his favorite tutor, the incomparable Damon, who excelled above all other Athenians in his intelligence, his musical skills, and his rhetorical abilities. It was Damon who had trained Pericles in the arts of ruling. But he too suffered ostracism, for his superior airs and his insulting manner toward the commoners stirred up too much resentment. Toward the end of the century, there lived a man named Hyperbolus. Most writers of the time describe him as the city's most worthless citizen. He did not care what anyone thought of him, and slandered whomever he disliked. He amused some, but irritated more. In 417 BC, Hyperbolus saw an opportunity to stir up anger against the two leading politicians of the time, Alcibiades and Nicias. He hoped that one of the two would be ostracized and that he would rise in that man's place. His campaign seemed likely to succeed. The Athenians disliked Alcibiades' flamboyant and carefree lifestyle and were wary of Nicias's wealth and aloofness. They seemed certain to ostracize one or the other. But Alcibiades and Nicias, although they were otherwise enemies, pooled their resources and managed to turn the ostracism on Hyperbolus instead. His obnoxiousness, they argued, could only be terminated by banishment. Earlier sufferers of ostracism had been formidable, powerful men. Hyperbolus, however, was a low buffoon, and with his banishment, the Athenians felt that ostracism had been degraded, and so they ended the practice that for nearly 100 years had been one of the keys to keeping the peace within Athens. Interpretation. The Athenians sensed the dangers posed by asocial behavior and saw how such behavior often disguises itself in other forms, the holier-than-thou attitude that silently seeks to impose its standards on others, overweening ambition at the expense of the common good, the flaunting of superiority, quiet, scheming, terminal obnoxiousness. Some of these behaviors would eat away at the city's cohesion by creating factions and sowing dissension. Others would ruin the democratic spirit by making the common citizen feel inferior and envious. The Athenians did not try to re-educate people who acted in these ways, or to absorb them somehow into the group, or to impose a violent punishment that would only create other problems. The solution was quick and effective. Get rid of them. Within any group, trouble can most often be traced to a single source, the unhappy, chronically dissatisfied one who will always stir up dissension and infect the group with his or her ill ease. Before you know what hit you, the dissatisfaction spreads. Act before it becomes impossible to disentangle one strand of misery from another, or to see how the whole thing started. First, recognize troublemakers by their overbearing presence or by their complaining nature. Once you spot them, do not try to reform them or appease them. That will only make things worse. Do not attack them, whether directly or indirectly, for they are poisonous in nature and will work underground to destroy you. Do as the Athenians did. Banish them before it is too late. Separate them from the group before they become the eye of a whirlpool. Do not give them time to stir up anxieties and sow discontent. Do not give them room to move. Let one person suffer so that the rest can live in peace. Keys to power. In the past, an entire nation would be ruled by a king and his handful of ministers. Only the elite had any power to play with. Over the centuries, power has gradually become more and more diffused and democratized. This has created, however, a common misperception that groups no longer have centers of power, that power is spread out and scattered among many people. Actually, however, power has changed in its numbers, but not in its essence. There may be fewer mighty tyrants commanding the power of life and death over millions, but there remain thousands of petty tyrants ruling smaller realms and enforcing their will through indirect power games, charisma, and so on. In every group, power is concentrated in the hands of one or two people, for this is one area in which human nature will never change. People will congregate around a single, strong personality like stars orbiting a sun. To labor under the illusion that this kind of power center no longer exists is to make endless mistakes, waste energy and time, and never hit the target. Powerful people never waste time. Outwardly, they may play along with the game, pretending that power is shared among many, but inwardly, they keep their eyes on the inevitable few in the group who hold the cards. These are the ones they work on. When troubles arise, they look for the underlying cause, the single strong character who started the stirring and whose isolation or banishment will settle the waters again. In his family therapy practice, Dr. Milton H. Erickson found that if the family dynamic was unsettled and dysfunctional, there was inevitably one person who was the stirrer, the troublemaker. In his sessions, he would symbolically isolate this rotten apple by seating him or her apart from the others, if only by a few feet. Slowly, the other family members would see the physically separate person as the source of their difficulty. Once you recognize who the stirrer is, pointing it out to other people will accomplish a great deal. Understanding who controls the group dynamic is a critical realization. Remember, stirrers thrive by hiding in the group, disguising their actions among the reactions of others. Render their actions visible and they lose their power to upset. Finally, the reason you strike at the shepherd is because such an action will dishearten the sheep beyond any rational measure. When Hernando Cortes and Francisco Pizarro led their tiny forces against the Aztec and Incan empires, they did not make the mistake of fighting on several fronts, nor were they intimidated by the numbers arrayed against them. They captured the kings Moctezuma and Atahualpa. Vast empires fell into their hands. With the leader gone, the center of gravity is gone. There is nothing to revolve around, and everything falls apart. Aim at the leaders, bring them down, and look for the endless opportunities in the confusion that will ensue.